Welcome, everybody, to Den Excelsior, the Mostly Marvel podcast. This is going to be episode 126, where we are talking about Crisis on Infinite Earths. The S at the end of the right?
Justice League Crisis.
Crisis on Infinite Earths. Part one. But I think the more exciting thing about this week's show is we have some guests. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our new friends from Nerd Night Out, Tom and Q.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome, guys. And I'm Dennis. He forgot to introduce me.
Well, he did. You're in the name.
Ricky, Dennis, thanks for having us on. You guys are amazing. I really appreciate the courtesy.
It's a fun show. Thank you.
Is it a fun show?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I appreciate that.
You guys have a very similar dynamic with your love of pop culture and your love of comics, and we share a similar kind of motif where I am definitely the comic book guy and my friend Q is definitely the pop culture guy.
Horror movie aficionado.
Oh, I love it.
Nice. Oh, I love me some horror movies.
You can't just say that without naming. Let me hear top three.
Oh, top three. Evil Dead.
That's gross. Top three.
Evil Dead, the original Halloween, and Exorcist.
That's a solid top three.
Yeah. Keep it at old school. There are some good new ones, but really, those are the three probably dearest to my heart. It's going to change by next week, though. It always changes. But they're dear to my heart right now.
Where does Paranormal Activity sit on your list? I'm just curious.
Pretty low.
I think they're making another one.
Yeah, pretty low. I feel when I first saw it, I felt like I already saw it when I saw Blair Witch.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I worked with the guy that made that movie.
Oh,
he was a PlayStation employee.
Now he's shit talking the movie.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That guy sucked.
No, that's okay. I don't mind. I don't know. I didn't know. I met him once. Like, you know, like I had to go over to his office to talk about some bug in the game, and he just looked like a guy that didn't want to be there. And I guess there's a reason why, because he had something else in his heart. So
if Dennis's friend is listening, I hope it. Know that I think Paranormal Activity is the greatest movie ever made.
Not my friend. I do not know Oren more than I met him once.
Promise. In fact, it's the only movie I've ever seen.
Nice. So just for anybody who's joining the show who is unfamiliar with you guys, why don't you tell us about Nerds Night Out and what you guys are about?
Yeah, sure, man. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to kind of talk about the show. We're really happy with it. Nerds Night Out is our venture into podcasts, and we try to hit up everything that we love and we think people would love to hear about, everything from zombie movies to wrestling. We just finished an extensive like deep dive into Vince McMahon and his multitude of scandals. We got a great episode coming up on Bloodsport. We did we got a whole lot more coming up.
Van Damme? Bloodsport Van Damme.
Wow. No, more. Well, yes, Van Damme, but more about Frank Dukes himself.
Okay, Frank Dukes. Okay,
the inspiration. Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But it's a blast. Q and I have been friends for decades, so doing this together is very organic and very fun.
And Tom, where might other people have recognized you from if you look familiar?
That was that one time at Walmart, but that was all over the internet. But other than that, I run a very fun account on comic books called Cosmic Comic History. And that's on Instagram, TikTok, and just about anything. And I post what I find to be fascinating kind of things that hopefully you can read and go, hey, you know, that's pretty cool. Oh, I didn't know Martha Kent's maiden name was Clark. And then you learn something fun, and you get to tell your friends about it.
I love the Herbie video. That was a great one.
Oh, yeah, right? Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I think I've been following you since you started doing this, actually. And I love watching your videos, because I think you and I were both starting to make videos on TikTok. We're like two old people just like, how does this thing work? You know, figuring it out. And
oh, my God.
I really appreciated every video you get, and it's, you know, they always show.
Well, I appreciate you looking at them because you gave me solid advice back in the day, because I did not understand the tickety TikTok, and I was posting videos that were blocked largely by all their little words,
extra and buttons, and
yeah, all the buttons, right? And you gave me great advice, and I was able to turn my videos around. And I mean, I've had a couple get over a couple million views, and probably wouldn't happen had it not been.
I know you're in the big leagues now.
You are in the big leagues.
You're in the big leagues now.
I'm trying. I, you know, it, I always tell people when they say, sometimes it's very humbling because people, I'll respond to things. My son, it drives him crazy. He's 16 years old, and I always respond to every comment. And he's like, you know, they do that. I'm like, but I love to. And then people sometimes say, hey, man, thanks for responding. I'm like, are you kidding? This account would be nothing without you. So I'm very appreciative of anyone who takes the time to comment and hit a like or whatever it is. It's great to talk to people too.
Awesome. That's cool. So we have a little tradition on the show before like we get into the meat of it. Like, since we call this the Mostly Marvel podcast, I like to ask new guests, what does Marvel mean to you? And I was just wondering if you guys could take a moment each to say that. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean anything. I'm just curious.
I'm going to throw it over to you first, Q.
Yeah. Throw it over to me because you're definitely going to be the closer. Because I'm going to be an easy act to follow. having never really read a comic book before, except that one time when I was 13 years old, I bought a heavy metal magazine. Only because when I thumbed through it, I kind of saw boobs.
Boobs, yeah. I knew the word coming out of your mouth. Yeah.
But that was it.
Oddly enough, it was a Garfield comic book.
John picked up the ladies pretty good. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so Marvel to me really is just a movie factory, it seems, especially since they got bought out by Disney. So, and it's starting to get watered down, I feel, also.
I
was just going to just follow that up. Like, but was there ever a moment where that movie factory made you feel something?
The original X-Men, when they were first coming out.
All
right. Wolverine was a lot of fun when they were coming out, but they definitely got diluted within themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
I'm not going to
That's the point of view of a noob, of an outsider looking.
I think it's a valid point of view, and
we're like 30, 40 years almost into comic book movies. Like it's right now.
Probably a point of view that was shared with our old co-host Frank, which is why he's not on this show anymore. Yeah. No. I'm kidding.
Well, Blade was a
Blade is
a Marvel character, right?
He was, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
he still is.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Blade walked, so a lot of these movies could run.
Yes, it's true. All right, what about you, Tom?
You know, Marvel to me is so much, but when I think of Marvel, I probably go with the stereotypical kind of house of ideas. I've always enjoyed how Marvel, and I'm a big DC guy. If you ever see most of my content, I'd probably say 90% of it is DC. That's what I was raised with, grew up with. If you look behind me, it's all DC books for the most part. But I've always enjoyed how Marvel was able to stay ahead of the game, whereas sometimes DC felt stale and outdated, and sometimes a little hard to reach for the younger crowd. As a child growing up, Spider-Man was a really thin version of me. You know, like he was a nerd, and he was he had that superhero inside of him. So I really resonate. Marvel really resonated with me.
Is there like an arc or a particular storyline from the Marvel comics that kind of flipped that switch for you and really hammered home that love?
Yeah, Ricky's looking for stuff not to read.
Yeah, with Marvel, the Fantastic Four to me have always been a solid read. Thor, the Walt Simonson run on Thor was just, I loved it. I just thought it was so much between the kind of Norse mythology and the art. I really was digging it. So I really did like Fantastic Four, but Thor was my go-to. So a particular run, anything by Walt Simonson, I'd say.
Cool. That's a new one that we haven't heard on the show.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Nice. Good job.
just curious.
Easy act to follow.
Deep dive. Deep dive.
Just curious. It doesn't have to get too deep, but like, what do you think? What do you? Does it raise any triggers when you hear somebody say their favorite character is Hulk?
No, cinematically, yes. If you're basing it on cinema, there's not really much to go on, right? You know, yeah. Cinema. We've had Lou Ferrigno, and although you know, I grew up with Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk.
So did I.
I mean, I remember going crazy when Trial of the Incredible Hulk, the
with Daredevil, and,
Death of the Incredible Hulk. You know, when those came on.
Yeah.
But there was a good run with Hulk recently where it was almost like a horror story, and I think they did it well. Hulk has got to be. I always give anyone who could write a Hulk story or a Hulk arc and do it well and keep you coming back for more deserves a very special award. Because there was a Spaceship Hulk. That was the run recently. That's a real thing. Wasn't it right? Spaceship Hulk or Space?
I have not read Spaceship Hulk.
Hulk jumps the shark.
For some context,
yeah,
you're going to be the most knowledgeable person on this show tonight.
Essentially was Bruce Banner, like essentially piloting Hulk like a spaceship. He was controlling him. It was an interesting storyline. I liked it.
All right, cool. And then just so like I think we can get like a little idea of what's more current, like. What kind of stuff has everybody been nerding out on this week?
Oh, I just read a really good book by John Carpenter. It's called, Toxic Commando, which it was a fun book. And it kind of has like a environmental message. It's kind of mixed with Lovecraftian storyline. I thought it was well done. A lot of fun. I think it's coming out in like 2 or 3 days. It's a solid book.
Okay.
All right.
How about you?
All right. Actually, I'm kind of glad you asked a little bit. I discovered a movie that came out, I think, 2014, 2015, horror movie, starring Olivia Munn. And
my favorite.
That is Ricky's favorite.
You shoot him G4?
Yeah. with Chris Hardwick.
Attack of the Show.
That's how I remember.
Now this movie had everything going for it until I watched it. It had a cool name. The title of the movie is Deliver Us From Evil. It was about zombies. Now we're here in New York City. The outbreak begins in the Bronx Zoo. And Olivia Munn is married to the character who's a cop with PTSD and they're stuck in the middle of it. Now this movie had like everything going for it until you watch it.
Yeah, good on paper.
Yeah. But the idea behind it was solid. I would love to start a GoFundMe so we can remake.
I mean,
Olivia Munn.
I for one, I'm shocked that Olivia Munn movie wasn't up the box.
She tries to speak with a New York accent.
Hey yo,
so hard.
is she the best live action Psylocke? Right.
Oh God!
She was Psylocke in what? Apocalypse, right?
Apocalypse.
Yeah. We don't talk. We don't talk about
that. I guess she was better than the one in X-Men: Last Stand. They're both terrible.
Like a blink and you miss it kind of thing, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, for sure. What about you, Ricky? What have you been nerding out on
this week? What have I been nerding out on? You put me on the spot. I wasn't ready.
This is episode 126.
I know. I totally blanked out. You know what? I watched the Spider-Man animated show. I watched the last three episodes, the Secret Wars arc.
Are we talking about the 90s one?
Yeah. Okay. That man, that the cheese in that show is so bad.
But good. You know, hot take. I've shared it here before, but for you guys. Like Spider-Man's my guy. He's been my favorite character my whole life. I actually never liked that show. I grew up with Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which I have a little picture of up there above me.
Yeah.
I grew up with like the ones that were older than that too. Those cartoons. And I've liked every show since the 90s one, but I never could get past like how much, you know, when I read the comics, you know, yes, he talks to himself a lot. But when Christopher Daniel Barnes talks to himself all the time, I'm just like, shut up. It's too much. It's too much. Like, I just couldn't handle it. And so, well, like, it was weird to me.
It made me go on a deep dive because in one of those, I think the second episode of that arc, Black Cat talks about how Red Skull killed her dad. And then the Black Cat has this secret or the super soldier serum injected in her. And I'm like, is this true? So yeah, after watching all this, I did a deep dive, and that's the only time that's ever happened. Like, they just like made that shit up on the spot.
I was about to say, I didn't know anything about that. I don't know anything about Black Cat, I guess, to that extent.
I think her dad is tied to Red Skull in some regard, but she does not have the super soldier serum at all.
Yeah. I mean, the show itself is weird because they had so many limitations on them for what they could and couldn't do in terms of censorship. I think one of the notes they had was to be that Spider-Man had to be mindful of how he landed so he didn't land on a pigeon. Healing through, I think, in the entire series, three punches possibly. It wasn't allowed to punch people. So
yeah.
They kind of neutered.
That's like Wolverine, who just like constantly opens doors for people in the X-Men cartoon, you know? Like, it's
so, the early Wolverine with the Australian accent.
No, I meant in the 90s cartoon too. Like,
oh yeah,
like he just opens doors. He's their door opener constantly because he's not.
Yeah,
he can't use those on people. Yeah, yeah, God forbid.
All right. It's like the turtles, right? They couldn't use the swords, the lean, you know, all these. I don't think the turtles ever used their weapons on anyone.
No, they did not. They actually make fun of that in the Nickelodeon CG show. They do a crossover with the old school Ninja Turtles, and they're like, why aren't you using your weapons? You know, like it's a whole joke. Yeah. All right, Ricky.
Christopher Daniel Barnes. He was what? Greg Brady in the Brady Bunch movies.
Yes.
Voice of Spider-Man as well. Do you remember those movies? The Brady Bunch movies.
I do.
I like.
Yeah, they're funny.
Yeah.
Those movies are good. Yeah, I like those.
I still have a thing for what's her name?
Marsha.
Oh yes, Marsha. Yeah. I was gonna say Ann B. Davis, but
she was married to Ben Stiller for a while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was gonna say.
I don't remember her name.
Remember Alice, the original Alice from '60s, Ann B. Davis,
mm-hmm.
And Ann B. Davis's house. I always used her as my go-to. Like, I had a crush, but it's so obscene. But I just like to use that to see people's reaction. Oh yeah, first childhood.
That was the maid, right, or the housekeeper?
Yes.
Yeah. Housekeeper. That's right.
Yeah.
She was so much more than that. You don't understand her, man. She was so much more than that.
All right, we're gonna cut you off on those beers there. It's been too many right now. If you're talking about Alice, how sexy she is. Ricky, do you want to keep this moving along?
I do. We'll kind of continue on the X-Men train with some news. Alrighty, X-Men 97 coming later this month on March 20th. They did kind of a big episode drop list. I won't read through all the names of the episode, but they're doing a 2-episode premiere on the 20th. I just wanted to kind of pry with you guys. If you guys can see that list, do any of those titles mean anything to you? Do any of the episode arcs think they're going to lead somewhere? Sure.
Means I need glasses.
We can read them out loud. Fire Made Flesh is the first episode. The second one is
Motendo and Life
Motendo
Death
/ Life Death Part One. Then it skips and doesn't do Life Death Part Two immediately after that. It does Remember It. Then Life Death Part Two, Bright Eyes, Tolerance is Extinction Part One, Two, and Three. Those are the really short list of seasons. Remember when seasons used to be like 50 episodes long or something like that?
Oh, God, I know. It's How many was that? 12 at the most?
I think it was like 8 or 9 or something like that, was it?
I mean, geez, Louise.
Yeah.
Was it 10? Ricky's got the list.
9?
Oh, God. That's I mean.
Are these half-hour episodes?
I don't know. Yeah, the half-hour episodes.
Probably.
Extra disappointing.
You will never see, you very rarely will see me post X-Men content. And when I do, I'm usually completely incorrect because what I said was true last issue is by the next issue no longer true.
Oh, yeah.
The X-Men history is so convoluted. I was what? I probably in my teens when the X-Men cartoon was on. I was mostly digging Batman the Animated Series at the time. I really didn't. I was not one of those X-Men fanatics.
To me, it was both shows. They were both Fox. They were both on Fox together. And then they were both Fox on Kids. Fox.
Wow.
Yeah, Fox Kids. Yeah. They like you couldn't beat Fox Kids for cartoons at that in that period of time because they had the two greatest cartoons on TV. And then like the other one I would flip the channel to go watch was Gargoyles. That was
Gargoyles.
That was a fantastic show too.
Oh, great.
But yeah, no, I feel you with the convolutedness of the X-Men. It's always been like a barrier of entry for a lot of people is like the history, the legacy, like it's so much. And I kind of appreciated the House of X, Powers of 10 storyline because they tried to create a jumping on point for people. And it's a really cool story, but like now it's all convoluted again, all over again. And
it doesn't take long. I tried to tune back in not too long ago. I'll say maybe a year ago, and there was something about like they were on Krakoa, and someone was laying eggs with cloning the X-Men.
That's all from the Powers of X or Powers of 10.
For anyone,
the Goldball, Speedball, who has the eggs?
They call him Egg now. I think is, but he used to be Goldballs. Goldballs.
Can't go wrong with Goldballs. I mean, really. like an Austin Powers villain.
It does. Yeah.
But I tried my best, and that was where I jumped in. And if that's the user friendly point to jump on, I don't stand a chance of ever getting into X-Men book.
My favorite thing about Gold Balls is like he was just like this hilarious character for like a few years, being written by Brian Michael Bendis. I think it was Bendis who was writing him, and he's just like this mutant that just makes bouncing gold balls that just bounce around everywhere, and nobody knows what the hell they do. They just like. They're really annoying, right? They're just gold balls. And then, like, you fast forward to this story by Hickman, I think it was, that wrote
House of X. That was his run, right?
Yeah. And suddenly, like, they fast forwarded in time where they figured out, now he's calling himself Egg, I think, and they found out that those balls are actually, like, unfertilized embryos, and if they can put, like, mutants' DNA in them and create clones and all that. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second. When do we get the prequel story that shows how they figured out you could inseminate those eggs? You
know, he's like a frog.
Who's the first person to try and do something with that egg? Because that's gross.
They were the first person to drink a cow's milk. Like, someone figured that out.
You guys seeing that egg over there? Oh, my.
Exactly. What else you got for news, Ricky?
My Adventures of Superman, or My Adventures with Superman, the Superman show from last year. I think everyone kind of enjoyed it. Did you guys ever get a chance to watch it?
Oh yeah, I absolutely.
I missed that one.
Yeah, he's gonna say no. I friggin' loved it. I thought it was so such a great reimagining of like the Superman mythology. I think they did a wonderful job, and the news is that it's coming to comic.
It is written by Josie Campbell, a producer on the show. They're going to do a bridge comic.
I can't wait.
Just in season two.
This show was a breath of fresh air. It was so, so wonderful because I have seen the Superman story retold so many times. It bores me like how much they always want to do things the same. And this show dared to be different, and it got a lot of hate for it too. Like a lot of people were trolling this thing on the internet, but like what I thought was cool is that my wife really enjoyed it too, and I was like, that's all I ever want is for something to be so accessible that people who don't normally consume this content can enjoy it as well, you know. So my wife's kind of like a cue, you know. So
it's a happy Superman, right? Cool. We haven't got
sure. Yeah. Which also means you should try watching that show.
You should definitely try. It you don't need to know anything about Superman or the mythology around Superman. And there is, I mean, decades of lore and mythology, but if you do enjoy that, they sprinkle it in such a fun way that you don't need it to understand what's going on, but it certainly is like, oh, look what they're doing. Oh, Oh, that's Deathstroke. Yeah. Oh, you know.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think is it on Max? It's on Max.
Yeah, it's on Max.
On Max. Yeah. It's on Max. It's so quite fun.
That was a cheap plug for Max, by the way. That, just because I want them to sponsor.
Oh, we do lots of cheap plugs for
piggyback
Max, my, Disney Plus.
My Max on my sister-in-law's password.
No, we don't share passwords. No.
We have 3 Max accounts here.
I hope you know that the clip generator is going to go straight for that one, and that's it.
No, she put the kibosh on it, so.
They're calling her yet? Oh God, it's they're after us already. Discovery.
So I'm gonna have to actually get a subscription to Max now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. You got anything else?
Last bit of news, kind of Superman related, kind of Comic-Con related. Director James Gunn kind of put it out there that he will not be attending Comic-Con because obviously they're making a Superman movie across the world. I think people are kind of bummed about that, right? That most likely was going to be the first time we were going to see some bits and pieces from that movie.
He's talking about San Diego this summer?
San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah. Sorry, us West Coasters call San Diego Comic-Con Comic-Con.
That's why I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep, just have you ever been to San Diego Comic-Con?
I haven't. No, that's one of my two bucket list destinations in terms of comics are Metropolis, Illinois, because I want to go there one day for the Superman celebration, and San Diego Comic-Con.
So I actually live in San Diego. I haven't missed a Comic-Con since 1998, I think. Okay. Yeah. I've also been to New York Comic Con, and it felt like I was cheating on my wife when I went there. It was what is this? It was so gross.
There's nothing else like it. I will say that.
No, it's fun. Yeah. I've never been to San Diego, but similar to you, I've been hitting New York Comic Con for so long now, decades now. It's hit and miss. It's hit and miss. You know, some years it's when, like you said, when Gunn and DC and Marvel kind of step aside, they're not there, or like Image, Dark Horse don't show, it becomes an anime fest. And although I get why people like it, I don't really dig anime that much, so I kind of tune out. You know,
I actually really loved Comic-Con last year when Marvel didn't show up, just because like I feel like it frees you up to go do so much more stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
it's a catch 22. I mean, because it is such a big spectacle that you have to allot so much time and resources to go do that spectacle.
Yeah, Hall H seats 7,000 people, right? I think it's like
something like that.
It's too many people. Like, I don't want to be around during a pandemic. That's just that's just gross.
I think my favorite joke around this was that Comic-Con was then always followed up by Anime Expo, and the Anime Expo was originally a couple years back where they had the Omicron version of COVID that kind of broke out, and someone made a joke saying, "Damn, man, the first time they leave their house and this happens," and I feel like, oh, but I Comic-Con's fun, but like you said, it's hit and miss. So some years it's good, sometimes it's good. But like, I do agree with you that hitting Artist Alley is always the best. But this year was crazy crowded, which I said, oh, that's a good sign, because that means some of the writers and the artists are becoming Rob Liefeld-esque, button your fly rock stars. So I'll take it.
Oh,
it all comes back around.
Where do you sit on the appreciation of Rob Liefeld?
You know what? I do enjoy his lack of humility. I think it's endearing that he will roast himself. And I think that's a lot of fun. I guess I got to give him credit for his role in the 90s on the industry, the forming of Image Comics. You got to give him credit for his longevity, that's mostly superficial stuff. I don't think I've ever willfully sought a book out because of his involvement. And I probably never will.
That was the most diplomatic answer I've ever heard about Rob Liefeld.
I like that answer.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was good. But my friends, including Ricky, for my birthday a couple of years ago, got me a cameo from Rob Liefeld, and they let him know. It was a joke cameo.
Yeah.
They let him know just how much I hate his art. And he's like, Dennis, happy birthday. I heard you hate my art. Guess what? Fuck you. I'm rich.
That's awesome. See, that's what I mean. That's what I love about him. That's what I love about him. That he's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
You can suck at drawing and still be a millionaire. So,
oh, yeah. True. God bless him. It's
yeah. True. Yeah. It's American true. Dream.
Yeah.
I hope all one right. day to suck at something terribly and people will pay me to do it.
Yeah. Keep dreaming.
I know.
You're on track. You're doing it. You got Q right there to help along the way.
Thanks.
He's gonna
just don't tell my boss.
Yes.
I'm doing that right now.
He's talking about something, but still getting paid.
That's right.
Have you guys properly been like warmed up now? Are you ready for the main course? Do you want
to talk
about
it? Let's do it.
All right.
You heard him. Today's spotlight, Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths, part one of three, right?
That's right.
Part one of three. Came out earlier this month on all your favorite streaming services for rentals.
Was it this month or December? I think.
Or December. I could be
November,
wrong.
November, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah, November. A little bit ago. Yeah. I think next month we get part two. And then by the end of the year, we get part three.
Okay. All right. So just for anybody who's unfamiliar with this one, this is part of this is one of a million DC animated movies that they put out that they've always been consistently putting out. But I think, you know, only truer DC fans actually like are aware of, like, because while they've been most arguably shitting the bed in the live action for a long time, they've actually done some pretty consistent hits in the animated front. I actually kind of I used to blind buy every single DVD that they would release back in the day for animated because I loved them so much and they used to be overseen by Bruce Timm, right? He was like in charge of
he oversaw quite a few.
Yeah, for me, I stopped just blanket buying them when he was no longer in charge, like because. I felt like, did you feel like there was a little bit drop in quality at some point?
They are definitely, like you said, I think comparative to the live action, I actually asked this on my the comic account the other day, essentially, if you had an option to watch four of the live action Batman movies versus four of the animated ones, which would you prefer? And very divided audience, because I had picked movies like Batman Under the Red Hood or Batman... gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Like The Dark Knight Returns, one and two. Some of them really solid things. But then every now and again, you get like a Batman Ninja or Gotham by Gaslight, which I didn't really enjoy too much.
You know, I didn't I didn't expect to like Batman Ninja as much as I did.
Oh, yeah. But
that movie is bonkers. And
right.
Tony Hale's Joker was such a treat that I didn't expect. He's just bananas. Like I love that one way more than I thought I would. Yeah. But I think the animated the DC animated universe is like, it's kind of like what you were saying earlier about like X-Men in comics. Like they go pretty hard into like lore and stuff in weird places that it's not necessarily accessible for everybody, but like, I think that's what's cool about the DC animated is that they've been doing it for so long that they're just like, we're going to do an Elseworlds and people might get it. They might not, but we don't really care, you know? And so I really like that they do all these Elseworlds. Like I even saw didn't they do one with Scooby-Doo a while ago? Like,
The Batman Brave and the Bold and Scooby-Doo.
Oh yeah.
And then
that movie was all right. Like
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Batman and versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was solid. Yeah. And they also had Crypto and Scooby-Doo as well.
Oh, yeah. I have not seen that one. Sorry.
I generally break them into like four different categories when it comes to animated movies, where you have those, like you said, the Elseworlds, standalone ones. Then you have like the Timverse, which are the Bruce Timm kind of style animated movies, the Justice League versus the Fatal Five. But then there's also...
That movie's great. Yeah.
Oh, that was solid. It was fun. Oh, Batman and Harley Quinn also probably indirectly, you know, because it's the same style, but it's too adult. It's not really part of the Batman animated.
Yeah.
That was the one where
she hooks up with Dick Grayson, right?
Yeah, that's the one where they stoop. Yeah,
yeah,
a lot of stooping in that movie. Nice. And I think Batman farts in that movie too. It was weird.
In his outfit,
farts in his outfit in the back car with Harley and I think Nightwing in the car.
Have you made a video of that?
No, but I should. That's
it. Yeah, I need the history of Batman
you
farting.
Need that. Batman you need fart. That. First it's time chemical, ever.
It's a chemical suit, right?
I guess so. Yeah. So, right. He traps it.
Yeah.
And then you got the
really seals in the flavor.
Just really sinks just
for later. Absorbs. When it takes it off.
Yeah.
You got the DC animated movies. Like I consider those from like everything from you know Superman Unbound, all those. But really like Justice League War.
That's a great movie.
War to Flashpoint Paradox. That's kind of like that DC animated movie universe, which they were all connected.
They were the new 52 universe done in animated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, excuse me, not the Flashpoint Paradox. Sorry, it starts with Flashpoint Paradox and it ends with the Apocalypse War. Sorry.
Yeah. Apocalypse War. Thank you.
Justice League Dark. Apocalypse War.
Apocalypse War. That's what it was. Yeah.
And now we're in the Tomorrowverse, which is Superman, the Man of Tomorrow, which is the first one. And now I'm guessing Crisis is ending them.
Yes, they're going to end with the Crisis Part 3. So that was a lot of setup to explain that, like, if you have not watched the Tomorrowverse, how do you guys feel? Like, how accessible is Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1?
Well, I'll toss that to you. Q, you watch the movie this week?
I think that question's for Q and research. Ricky.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, you did the bare minimum. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Tom picked the movie for us, so I appreciate that.
Sorry, everybody.
So anybody who's tuning in and wants to be a guest on the show, if you want to be a guest or a guest on our show, we'll let you pick the movie. We'll watch.
That was really cool. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's fun. So, all right, Q. If you don't like it, it's Tom's fault.
All right. Well, I did like the movie. The movie was better than the comic series itself.
You read the comics.
I thumbed through the comic. Right.
I gave him the material he needed for the research.
Yeah, I saw nice. The comic was from 1985 to 1986.
Yep.
The year the Mets won the World Series.
I don't understand. I don't understand the sports.
it's a game. It's a big championship game.
Oh, it's a long time ago. That's what it was.
Yeah.
The movie was better than this comic series itself. The voice acting was great. Mm-hmm. I noticed that it was kind of confusing at the beginning, with all of the time warp back and forth. But
it's a lot of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, but we found out, you know, about halfway through the movie, you definitely figured out what's happening and why, because without spoiling the end of the movie, you're jumping through time, at the beginning of the movie. And, mm-hmm. I just have to say that I did watch this movie on 1.5.
Okay.
To see the Flash go through time and space on 1.5 just kills my Samsung battery instantly.
So I believe you're
watching it at 1.5.
The movie itself, she has a lot more in common with, I guess, like the novelization, which had Barry as your pin character. He was like your linchpin.
Yeah, yeah. Barry was badass. I never thought of the Flash as being such a cool character.
Oh yeah. You're missing out.
I'm really glad that Ezra Miller had nothing to do with this character. Also,
no babies in microwaves in this one.
There were a couple of funny parts of the movie. The one that really got me was. Now Bizarro Superman is now. Oh, it's Earth 3.
He's talking about Ultraman.
Yeah, now Earth 3.
Ultraman.
As the Syndicate. Gotcha. Right. Now, is that Bizarro world?
No.
Because I really don't know.
It's no.
It's not. It's okay.
That is Prime, a world in which the roles are flipped. Good guys are bad guys are good guys.
Owlman
is I think it is Thomas Wayne. Is like a warped version of Thomas Wayne, essentially. I feel. Superwoman is Lois
Superwoman,
Lane,
right? Yeah. Not Supergirl.
Yeah,
not Supergirl growing up. It's Wonder Woman as.
It's Superwoman in the comic books, at least, is Lois Lane.
Yeah.
Ultraman.
I know. I'm not sure if that stands for the same.
I think he called her Diana.
No, right.
because yeah. because the movie, the voice actors are the same people voicing the regular versions of them.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't notice that. No.
I did notice that.
Oh, yeah. Look, see, yeah. you said I was going to be the most knowledgeable person here. I'm definitely, I wasn't paying attention to that. I'm looking at it through different eyes, I guess, right? I'm looking for it as a comic book counterpart, but that's not the case. But by the way, if you want to see a good movie with a crime syndicate, one of my favorite.
They don't have their own movie?
It's
Justice called, League Doom.
Justice League Doom is great, and then there's Justice League Crisis on Two Earths.
You see that? Sorry, that's what I meant. It's Justice League Crisis on Two Earths. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Doom is something different. What I forget what Doom is.
Sorry, Doom say is one more time. Doom is the
Tower of Babel Tower of Babel, redone, right?
Yeah, the Babel Protocols, right?
Yeah.
Crisis
on Two Earths is I kind of thought it's a better movie than this one.
I did.
Is that the Thomas Wayne story?
That's
Flashpoint Paradox.
Flashpoint.
Okay.
See, this is where what you said comes into play, right? How convoluted it can be. and I don't want to spoil too much, because actually one of the conversations that Q and I had about the movie was him trying to identify who in the film who the masked or the hooded figure was.
Yeah, who was the homeless guy?
So
do you guys know who the homeless guy is? In a minute. Yes. Yes,
I do. Can we do that?
We can do spoilers, but we're just going to give our listeners and viewers a spoiler warning. If you haven't watched Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1 at this point, it's been out since November, guys. What are you doing?
You have failed.
Go watch it, and then come back and join us. Yeah, even Q watched it. Right. Exactly. All right, spoilers out of the way.
Let them fly.
Go for it. Fly.
All right.
Go for it.
The hooded figure, the vagrant looking man, is John Constantine.
Okay. And yeah, that's
that
what I figured.
Same John Constantine that Keanu Reeves.
Well, same character. Yeah.
He did the hand thing, and that's what
You know why I know that? Only because of Wikipedia. I couldn't tell that was John Constantine because, like, you don't understand how many John Constantines I've seen at this point in the DC animated universe. Like, it was getting kind of this one was not voiced by the same
actor,
right? That kind of broke my heart to find out that was Constantine and it wasn't voiced by the guy. So
I'm sorry to say, I absolutely go crazy for voice cast, and I'm actually drawing a blank right now, but I think Matt Bloom was the Flash.
Matt Bomer.
Matt Bomer. Sorry.
Yeah. He plays Mr. Negative in Doom Patrol, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And he does a great job. He's been playing the Flash, I think, mostly in the Tomorrowverse. And Jensen Ackles as Batman did a good job, always.
I love me some Dean. I don't know about you.
Supernatural?
Supernatural.
I've seen maybe two or three episodes. My wife binge watched it. Loves it. Loves Supernatural.
Have you ever made a video about the fact that Jensen Ackles auditioned for the role of Captain America?
I didn't get the part.
Was offered Hawkeye and turned it down because he said he was busy with scheduling conflicts.
He made out better on that deal, right?
You think he did? You think he made out better for being
what's better,
Supernatural? Supernatural. Hawkeye?
What are the 8 seasons of Supernatural?
Oh no, it's like 15 seasons, dude.
Oh, 15 seasons of Supernatural, or
he said 8 seasons.
Or Hawkeye. I mean, Hawkeye has a TV show too, though.
I'm just saying, Hawkeye had enough money to get run over by a tractor and then be fine.
That should be a standard for like wealth and health, right?
Right?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
It
blows my mind to hear. Like, I love Jensen Ackles as Batman. It's great. But just to know that, like, when he got turned down for the part of Captain America, and then they immediately said, no, but we think he'd be perfect. Nah, I'm kidding. You know, like that's.
I can say there is a DC Supernatural connection in that John Constantine is modeled after the singer Sting. And then on Supernatural, you have to figure, I didn't watch the show, that there's like an angel that's always with them that wears the trench coat. I don't know his name. You know, Supernatural.
Castiel.
Yeah, and he's designed to look like John Constantine, so it's like a full circle thing.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah,
except with black hair.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
More like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And he did say Keanu would send an interview. He'd love to come back to that. That's the one they did make a sequel to.
I heard actually, there was rumors about that right before James Gunn took over. And right. then those rumors got squashed after that happened.
So. Yeah, a lot of projects fell by the wayside with the switch over to the Gunn reign. They announced the Wonder Twins. Remember that?
Oh yes, man. I do remember that. Let's get things back on track. Why don't you guys spoil the crap out of this? Besides the John Constantine thing, like what did it mean for you to have John Constantine in this story? Because he was not in the original story, correct?
No, not in the original story. It was cool to see him kind of taking over the role of what Pariah was in the comic books. Minus the purple hair, but still,
you mean Farrah, right?
Farrah, yeah. Anyone who watched the comic story and video knows that we mean Farrah. But yeah, Pariah gets put out to the wayside, and we get Constantine in the role. It was very Barry centered, the film versus the comic book. You know, I mean, of course, Barry's death in the comic book. I mean, we still have two more entries in the series to go, but we haven't seen his death in the comic book is iconic. I mean,
yeah, it's a good
thing. You know, I actually own that comic book. It's one of the
very cool.
It's one of the only Crisis books I own, and I read it and I was like, I don't get it. But I was a little kid when I had it, and it's just like, I didn't read them in sequence, you know. So it never stuck to me the same way. I'm sure
the whole purpose of Crisis, and that's a word that DC uses very liberally, and they had been using since probably the 60s. Crisis on Earth 1 and 2, Crisis on 2 Earths, Crisis on 2 Worlds, you know. They've been using it very liberally, but the purpose of Crisis was to take all this convoluted continuity that had come into existence over the last, at that point, probably 60 years or so, or 45 years or so, and kind of whittle it down to one consistent thing. But, I mean, even opening up the first couple of pages of the comic book, and you're seeing characters like Blue Beetle, and which was probably largely unknown to the DC audience at the time, because they had just been purchased. And then you have characters like Firebrand, and I can only imagine as I'm reading for the first time, for like Q and Ricky, it must have been
that was overwhelming. Yeah.
It's overwhelming. Well, yeah, right.
It's a lot. It's all the toys, right? It's all the toys on the page.
But it's toys even the kids at the time didn't recognize, is what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's the point, right? And so like for me as a kid who didn't read all of them, you know, like and I watched Super Friends back in the day, or Superpowers, you know, whatever. Like I didn't understand the larger scope of what was happening until way later in my adult life, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is the first giant ever reboot, right? Like that's basically
kind of maxi series, first really attempt at I think by today's
soft reboot,
a soft reboot, right? Yeah, we'd probably call it a soft reboot, and it worked kind of for a short amount of time, and then it got convoluted again. You know, it didn't take too long for it to, but sales worked. I think after Crisis, sales went up like 22%, and by 87, DC was finally beating Marvel in sales. So, in that regard, it worked.
Yeah, as a teenager, I would, you know, every now and then when I'd have allowance saved up, I would like do speculative comic book buying, and I bought the Flash #1, not understanding that that was not really the Flash #1. That was the Wally West version of Flash that immediately followed the Crisis. So once I kind of learned, you know, like what had gone on, and like I learned things like after the fact, like you're saying, like Barry died, you know, he sacrificed himself to save the multiverse basically. Mm-hmm. And then you go and read another comic a few years later and there's Barry again, and you're like, oh
yeah,
okay, comics, you know, like and that's the one conceit I've always had with comics, is it's like for someone like, if I had a friend like you who didn't go in and read those often, because you know you'd heard about things like that, like how convoluted it gets or how silly it gets or contrived and stuff, it's a hard sell, right? Like that's like I'm always been an advocate for getting the normies like on board with this, the content I enjoy, because if they get on board, then we can have the conversations I want to have. Then we can have a podcast like ours or like yours, you know, where we sit around and nerd out about these things. That's why I like the MCU, because it made that accessible. Or that's why I like the old, you know, DC movies, like the Richard Donner Superman movies or anything. Mm-hmm. Anytime my friends would not go out, you know, they would normally be talking about sports like you, and I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know what this is. But, you know, did you see the new Superman movie? And we talk about it, you know? And so, but then I go back and I read comics like Crisis on Infinite Earth, and I'm like, I can never recommend this to somebody. Like, it's hard, right?
You gotta know your shit.
Yeah, you gotta know your shit.
Mark Wolfman, the writer of the series, and George Perez, the artist, they did it. I mean, decades of research. They had somebody, DC, had somebody like reading almost every comic they had published since the 30s, and to try and figure out how to consolidate this history. And it's just, but even the movie is, see, the comic book was designed to consolidate the multiverse, to say, like, all right, at the end, there's one Earth, right? There's just one. But the movie is falling into the same kind of trap where you need to know a lot to enjoy it. And even Constantine's role in it as Pariah is going to have to be explained by referencing movies like Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, in which he encourages Barry to reset the universe. And now he has to.
So like, what's he guilty of? In the movie, he says that he's guilty, and he says that Barry is guilty.
The Tomorrowverse, the movies that we're watching, this universe, none of them would exist had Barry at the end of Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War not run and reset time and reset kind of like a failing to be just loop. Like in the comic books where this negative space was taking over the universe. The same thing was happening at the end of Justice League Dark. Yeah. And Barry runs back and ends up in what eventually is the Tomorrowverse, except he ends up in an alternate reality. That's that Justice Society World War II movie, which is solid.
Flash has just always been able to run through space and time.
His character, like you, right? Yeah, I mean, his character probably is something just like a lot of people that those powers developed and writers figured out new ways to kind of.
Writers were like, this guy already defies every law of physics. Let's give him a few more to defy.
I know they're the treadmill
cosmic treadmill, right?
Yeah. So, I think the funniest thing about Crisis on Infinite Earths as a movie or as a TV event a few years ago in the Flareverse, or you know, is it's weird to me that these movies exist post Flashpoint Paradox, because you and I growing up understood that the buzz, the big deal with Crisis on Infinite Earths was it's the first one. It doesn't necessarily make it the best one as far as like tight storytelling goes. But if you take it and make it not the first one and it's not the tightest story, and then you have Flashpoint Paradox, World War II, and then also
within the Tomorrowverse.
Yeah. Well, so all these movies that exist before the Tomorrowverse that are setting up the Tomorrowverse, you know what I mean? Like they've rebooted their universe multiple times already. And now they're finally saying, okay, now it's time for the next stage. Like, how does that vibe with you to know, like, does it have the same weight? That's the bummer.
I didn't think this movie franchise needed it. I thought it was running solid. I thought like Batman Hush 1 and 2, you know, they existed unto themselves. They were good. Like, I don't think the Tomorrowverse movie, Superman, Man of Tomorrow, Justice Society, World War II, they were cool. And it's only been going on for about 4 years.
4 years.
I didn't think it was time to do this. It just seems kind of pointless. Again, I'm sure the point is not, it is less storytelling, more like
it's to fill a bookshelf is what it is.
Right. Well, it's
kind of on that note. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that this is three slices or three movies? Does that do the story justice or not?
You looked at the books and saw the movie.
Yeah. I think that three parts would. I think that works best. Honestly,
As a fan, I'm digging it. Because now I'm going to get to see, like, I already saw the preview for part two where it has Batman Beyond in it.
Yeah.
And now they're saying part three, although this is driving me nuts as a fan too.
Kevin Conroy, right?
And Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy posthumously, and Mark Hamill as Batman and Joker for the last time. I it's a cash grab. It's a cash grab for Warner Brothers at this point. I thought a couple of months ago that they were announcing that that Suicide Squad was the last appearance, and all of a sudden that got trashed. I mean, I'm sure it made a bank, but got trashed by fans, and they're like, "Oh no, that's not it. There's more. There's more Kevin coming your way."
Yeah.
And I just thought it was kind of like a little tasteless to do that, to drag his name into the film.
Let it be. You don't have to like.
I preferred when I didn't know the Tomorrowverse was a verse, and that each of those movies was just individually good. Like, I thought they were doing a pretty good track record recently. You know, like the Green Lantern movie that they did recently was pretty solid.
Beware My Power.
Yeah, Beware My Power. The Legion of Superheroes movie is an excellent movie. Sometimes I turn these movies on in the background, and then halfway through, like, I'm like, wait, I'm watching this now, you know, like, and I'm just like this. And I think a lot of them have been that, like, when I hear Jensen Ackles as Batman, I'm like, yeah, man, this is kind of cool. It's a different take. But then when I see these versions of them all together in this movie, and they're not really doing anything super heroic, right? They're building towers and then they're standing around watching a wave go by. And I'm like, where is the superhero fun here?
Like, not a lot of,
It turned into a union project, you know, like they're just literally building towers to prevent a wave from inexplicably destroying everything. And I'm like, I feel like this did not translate well, guys. Like, this is not what I want to see. And I guess I hope that the next two movies give me more of the superhero action I want, and like the heroism and stuff, like, because it reminds me of like Miss Marvel or the Marvels, where like, yeah, you can tell me that millions and billions of people are going to die, but if you don't react to that, like, if you don't show me emotionally, if you choose to just center the story on, like, oh, remember that time Barry got married? Or remember, like, I get it. I like the emotional hook of, like, him and his Iris as their love story. That's fun. But, like, billions of people might die, or trillions, or, like, you know, I don't know.
Well, they were dying.
Yeah,
they were dying. During the love story. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, which was, you know, it's kind of a great little hook to it too. You know,
which
they made a beautiful death scene for Barry, but at the same time, in like slow motion time, an infinite number of people are currently dying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the hard sell for me.
I will tell you, I remember there was a movie called, like, with Morgan Freeman, Ben Affleck, called Some of All Fears. And
I remember passing on it.
Yeah, you made the right choice. And there's a scene in which I think they nuke, like, the Super Bowl. Like, the bad guys, like, nuke the Super Bowl, something like that, or like a game. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, thousands upon thousands of people just died. And they kind of, like, go on with the story. And it never, like you said, it never kind of gives it time to hit, like, wait. Why do I care about these two people when I just saw the death of hundreds of thousands of people? You know, and in the comic books, I think the erasure of the multiverse hit, whereas in the film, it didn't.
Exactly.
It didn't hit. It was kind of like a brushed over thing, and then quickly we pan to Barry and Iris having breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, I get it. I get why they did it, but it does lose that impact.
You think that's because we've kind of desensitized to it in terms of superhero media? You know, the world's always ending now. The universe is always ending, and up until recently, the multiverse is now always ending.
Yeah,
That's why I enjoyed a movie like Ant-Man. Ant-Man, the world wasn't on the line.
Exactly.
You know, it was just like the page. Suit, like, you know.
And guess
I'm
what?
Okay with the
I think
that's every zombie movie.
I think that's how we're going to end this show, by the way. So way to go with those taglines.
I'm okay with the world ending.
It's awesome. Gotta be. No, but I just want to say thanks.
Rises again.
Yeah. Thanks you guys for joining us on this show. Like, I would love to have you guys back to talk more. We
for
do
part
have a
two.
Yeah. For part two, we can do that. But we'll be resuming our X-Men movie binge again next week with our friend of the show, Travis. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, if you want to find these guys, Cosmic History or Nerds Night Out podcast. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks again, guys. And with that, true believers, enough said.